Hello and welcome to Unofficial Partner, the Sports Business Podcast. I'm Richard Gillis. Today we talk to Gundeep Anand, who is the force of nature behind The Last Stand, the UK street football tournament created to unite communities and break down cultural and religious barriers through sport. It's a great story, and Gundeep's a brilliant communicator, offering a perspective on sport, politics and the media that you rarely hear in sports business conversation generally. I really recommend listening in and then watching Gundeep's film on BBC Sport's website, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes, where we'll also put details of the Women's Street Football Tournament referenced in the podcast. If you like the podcast, you'll really like the Unofficial Partner newsletter, which goes direct to the inbox of thousands of senior executives across the global business every Thursday. To join them, sign up via unofficialpartner.com. Here's Gundeep Anand. Your walking music?
No, you know what, this really helps me kind of get in the zone a little bit. Just brings me back to planet Earth.
Come on then, let's hear it.
My baby don't care. I love it.
See, what I thought you were gonna play is something I wouldn't know. I mean, I know that that's you know,
because you know what it is, it really like just calms you down and just puts things in perspective. And I think a lot of times people just forget at the end of whatever you're doing, there's a human being, and we are serving human beings, right? So let's just make it a bit more enjoyable, fun and a bit valuable, so people can take something away from this, you know. So that's my thing behind anything I do, right? It's always about, it is for human beings at the end of the day. Like, just relax, man. It's not, it doesn't need to be that complicated. Like, I don't know. Anyway.
So we got the walking music, and we've got the, my worry is that that's an Arsenal shirt you're wearing.
Yeah, I'm an Arsenal fan, man. So I love Arsenal to bits. So, but it's just every time I remember under Arsene Wenger, I think in January, every single time, he used to break my heart, man. He used to break my heart so many times. So now I support them and I love them, but I just keep slight distance. I try not to get too attached, because it ruins my life otherwise.
So what was your way into Arsenal? What was the team? Not the Invincibles, is it?
I think just slightly after. It was just slightly after. But obviously, you know, seeing Patrick Vieira, Henri, and I think the season 2005 it was, when we were Champions League final, because I remember when Villarreal came to Highbury, and I didn't have tickets, so I remember I was just trying to sneak in. I was like getting them, seeing the players come off the coach. Like, it was a really exciting time. You know, I think it's nice, and oh man, I wish we won that Champions League, man. But it's okay.
Yeah, well, you know, but Spurs should have won, shouldn't they? They Liverpool the final the other year. But
are you a Spurs fan? I'm guessing
I am.
okay.
And yet, I am magnanimous enough to allow you on to the podcast. You see, you see what a generous sort of person I've had. I am.
I was saying this interview is going to be interesting then.
Right. Where are you, by the way? Where are you speaking from?
I'm speaking from Southall. Southall is the home. You're close to your house before. I'm your neighbor.
You know this. I told you this. I grew up in Hayes, and I've had this conversation on the podcast before with Greg Dyke. Greg Dyke lived just around the corner, and you wouldn't believe the number of footballers that have come from Hayes. You won't have heard of any of them. They're all old. Glenn Hoddle.
Yeah. Glenn Hoddle, what? He's amazing. Like, even the academy he set up, his philosophy. Obviously, he hasn't had that sort of, I would say, I think he wasn't able to execute his whole complete vision of how he wanted to change the football, the landscape of the football. But I think he's one of the ones that did try to do things differently.
He was like, he's like a sort of poor man's Johan Cruyff, isn't he? You know, he was a great player, and then it could have been the sort of great philosophy of English football for a generation. He could have been
his academy. He had an academy in Spain, right?
I get confused with Hoddle's academy and Kevin Keegan's academy.
Okay,
they both had academies of players that sort of fell out of the system and then brought them back in, and But yeah, I think you're right. I like Hoddle. He's a sort of I don't love him as a commentator, but I loved him as a player, and he was and I liked him as a manager as well, actually, funny enough.
But I like him as an academy, like trying to change the philosophy of football. I like him like that, in that sort of sense, because he was giving opportunity to young people that would never have got, which I'm all about,
which is what you're about. Should we talk about what you're about? Let's talk about the Last Stand. We should just sort of say, so you, we have got to know each other via Ricardo Fort, who listeners will know as the head of Coca-Cola Sport and Entertainment sort of division globally. And he's just left that. But he said, you should go and talk to Gundy. And so here we are.
Yep.
How do you know Ricardo?
I know Ricardo through Walter. Walter is the CMO, I think, of EMEA Coke. So I like
some powerful friends there.
No, I think, you know what, it all boils down to what your philosophy is. And I think you connect with the like-minded people, whereas Walter is on the same ambition and wavelength as he wants to create change through sport. And he believes a lot in young people and creating opportunities. So I think me and him kind of connected on that. We didn't even speak about work or anything. It was when I first met him through Liz. So Liz Lowe was head of sustainability at Coke. And she's the one who believed in me from get-go, even when I didn't even have these skills of directing, filmmaking, or creating events and experiences. So she gave me my first opportunity. She gave me my first big break as a director, to when I got to work with Amir Khan, and I got to direct a few films across the nation for the Project Park Live. So I kind of met her through that, Ricardo through Walter and Walter through Liz. So it's like a chain, I think, and all the people I've kind of met on the journey, I would say they all kind of feel the same thing, that they want to create change. It's not about fighting the old, but it's about creating the new, you know. It's about what can we do? Because, you know, everyone's right now is focusing on the negativity. Look, oh, this is bad, that's bad, this is bad. But how about, hey, we can do something about this, you know. Let's come together. It's all about unity. And I think people are forgetting how as a collective, as humanity, as on a collective, what we can achieve. And obviously, instead of me talking, I wanted to demonstrate, and I've been doing that since 2016, but I did it through street football. But what I'm trying to say is people can do that through any form of art that they feel strong about. If you feel strong about filmmaking, if you feel strong about business or sports, or I don't know.
Niche podcasting.
Yeah, niche podcasting. Like, I think that's something I was saying to you, Richard. Like, it's amazing because, Richard, when I started, someone I really, really trusted when I started the street football, someone I really, really trusted. And I said to him, hey, man, I want to do this. He's like, he said to me, he's like, it's already been done. And I was like, yeah, it's been done, but not by me. you know.
See, I like that. I like that. I can see how you make these powerful friends. You go in a room and then suddenly you say something like that, and then, you know, Coke all over you.
No. It's not. I mean, I'm not working officially with anyone. Like, we're still, it's more about who's on the mission to make things happen for us.
Let's talk about The Last Stand, because I got sent the deck, and later on people can sort of, who might want to get in touch with you or whatever, they can come via us at Unofficial Partner or whatever, or go to you direct. But we'll do all that. But let's just talk about it for a minute, because
and before you go, I just want to kind of bring in, you obviously you keep mentioning powerful friends. I think it's all about our philosophies, and I think all the brands or the organizations, I don't think it's anything to do with that. I think it's the people that make the brand, not the brands that make the people. And I'm looking to connect with people. So, and I think that's where you have that sort of connection, and you can say, look, this is the mission we are on. And I understand people have business objectives. That's fine. But as long as your mission's aligned, that's the most important thing, I feel.
Okay. Sorry, right. No, not at all. I'm loving all this. So just explain, because I watched the you did a film on BBC. Yeah. And I watched that, and I've seen the presentation, and let's just take it through. What is it? Where did it start? What, you know, just give
I thought you was going to give me an intro. I was like, yeah, let's go. But okay. Cool. fine. So I spent a lot of time in Ladbroke Grove, Shepherd's Bush, and I felt like, and then just other parts of London when I was working as a coach, I felt like a lot of kids don't believe they can achieve much. A lot of the kids, they don't feel like they can do much with their life. So I was like, why don't I create something that came in my mind and I made it a reality? I'm not saying they have to do a football tournament. It could be a car, it could be an app, it could be a movie, it could be anything. But instead of me talking, I wanted to show. And me showing, I ended up doing not one, not two, not three, not four, not the national, not European, but you end up doing more and more because the demand gets bigger and bigger. And again, like, we had teams from different areas, different cultures, different religions, different ethnicity, different backgrounds. And you start to think, hang on a minute, like, if it wasn't for the sport or the tournament, all these people come together? And you're like, no. And I'm talking pre-COVID now, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the power. Yeah? You know what I mean? It's the biggest denominator to bring these people together. And especially this day and age, when you got so much hate, so much racism, so much negativity, I feel there are more forces dividing us than uniting us. So this is just my way of tackling that problem. It just happens to be I'm doing it through street football. That's it. And obviously what happened after is something I never anticipated. You know, the boys have, and the girls, they've gone on to become models for Nike, Puma, Adidas. Their faces all over Oxford Street. They started businesses back of this. They started academies back of this. And even like the people who are helping me behind the scenes, they got jobs within the industry. One of the players, or let's say he was helping out, and he was a wedding photographer. And now he's flying private jets with Chelsea Football Club. And one of the other people got, he's an editor for Adidas and working with different agencies. But, and one of the players, we introduced him to Nike in the past. And then he sold his own merchandise on Nike's website. And obviously his brand ever since been different, you know. And even for myself as well, you know, I got to work with the mayor's office and got to advise them on certain issues and certain things that are working with the young people. And being able to kind of have a say on your city. And that's like such a proud, proud moment. Like, I love London. Like, I love London. It's, I think it's, there's no place like this. And be able to advise them and potentially have a conversation and actually have influence on the policies and stuff is something I never dreamed of.
What was the first tournament like?
So first one was in Shepherd's Bush. It was amazing. Like, it was literally from idea to execution in like 2 months, and we had the whole of underground street football scene going crazy. And it was just, it was nuts, because what it is, yeah, Richard, like, if you connect with people that everyone's forgotten about, they really, really care. Like, they really appreciate you. And I think that's what I did. I never made anything new. All I did was connected the dots.
How did you reach them?
So I used to be a coach. So I used to coach futsal back in the days in the communities before I got into advertising and directing. So I spoke to one of the team. I said, "Hey, I'm looking to do a tour, street football tournament where winners get Nando's, losers get chicken cottage. Do you want to play?" So it was literally that, because I didn't want to make it about money, because you know when money gets involved, you don't get that sort of that mindset, the energy. In that sort of tournament, especially if the tournament's about bringing people together, it's about elevating young people, it's about giving them a platform, you got to make it a bit, you know, as you got to understand what young people want. It's a bit more on the culture side of things. So I've kind of made it like that. So I made a film on one of the teams. I didn't know the rest of them. And I just put it out on Instagram this time. And shit, it did numbers within the circuit, within the underground scene. And like, it was crazy. And people were like, "Oh, can you film my team? Can you film my team? Can you film my team?" So we filmed the other one. Then they're like, "Can you film my team? Can you film?"
And these are futsal teams, are they?
No. These are just players. They're ballers. They're like street football players. But somewhere...
Do they organise on sort of national teams? Because it's a part of your film. There's some... They appear to be sort of, you know...
In different cities?
Yeah.
Yeah. So most of them are like, let's say maybe some are... left out of the system, or maybe they were pros or got injured, maybe semi-pro, or they're trying to make it pro. So it kind of gave them a platform.
So they're good players.
Yeah. Oh my God. They're amazing players. Like, when you're, for spectators, this is so exciting. because the format we have is like is so quick. Do you know what I mean? And it's just it gets the ball moving and the ball slightly heavier as well, and you can't play off the wall. So if you're like a rubbish player, you know, it's just, I don't want to say the other language. I don't know if I can use that.
That's right. We got a very fashionable badge on iTunes that allows us to swear. which is one of our proudest achievements.
Okay, I didn't know that. But yeah, so like you can't say, you can't be, if you're, you will get found out, you know. So that's what, that was the kind of thing. It was like, you got 5 minutes to win or you score two goals, winner stays on. And it's a round robin, and team that wins the most matches wins the tournament. So
there's a guy on the film, and I'll recommend it to anyone listening to just go and look at it. It's on iPlayer, or it's on BBC website. And Teniola time.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's unbelievable.
He's a showman. He's a showman. He's amazing. And obviously he's done really well off this as well. And his career's kind of kickstart, and he's worked with so many footballers and different brands. But as a player, he's amazing. He loves the camera. He loves to, he loves it. And I think our audience loves it as well. You know what I mean? They love his charisma. They love it. And I think that's what happened with street football. You get characters, you get people, you get the best out of them because there's freedom, there's expression, there's creativity, there's equality. And with 11 aside, I think they dumb down all these sort of stuff and they make players robots. And that's why the game, I don't know if there was a new research recently that showed that a lot of young people are coming off sports. You know, there's a massive push right now, like, to get young people to play, because it's because of all these institutions and organizations. They're treating them like they're robots, like they're human beings, man. You got to like think what makes them tick, what makes them, you got to understand people, you got to understand young people. And then they work with these companies that all they care about is money. Like sooner or later, you're going to be forgotten. It's only a couple of years. Do you know what I mean? So I think, not being rude, but I think people need to wake up. But these brands need to wake up and these organizations, like, hey, like what are we actually doing? Because yes, you might have a really comfortable lifestyle, you might be really comfortable, but underneath all of that, the world is moving at such a fast pace. And it's all about collaboration, and you've got to see who you collaborate. If you don't, you know what, sometimes I think, Richard, what the problem is, right? I think people don't want to admit they're wrong. If you're wrong, if you don't know shit, if you're not cool, that's fine. Just put your hand up, say, I'm not cool, but can I find someone who understands it, who has the impact, and you collaborate. I don't have all the answers. But I will find people that have the answers. But am I brave enough to say I'm wrong? Are we brave enough, these leaders of these organizations, are they brave enough to say, you know what, I made a mistake. Let's move on. Let's do correct it.
So do you find, do you watch 11-a-side football? Do you watch the Premier League?
I watch Arsenal. But to be honest, I'm not going to lie to you. Even watching, regardless of how good or bad it is, unless it's Champions League matches, they're like big matches, which Arsenal, I haven't seen them for many years now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know, man. Like Arsenal Tottenham, I loved it. Like, it was an amazing match. Sorry, I'm not trying
all
to
right,
rub it.
All right.
But I just feel like it's boring, man. It's just like, I don't know, man. It just gets a bit jarring. Like, it's maybe that's personally me, but I'm, for other people, yes, they might love it. They like full on 90 minutes, but I get a bit, you know, I like fast, engaging, exciting. I just like skills all the time. So obviously, yeah.
What about the way it's presented when you watch football on the telly?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much the same as when I was your age. You know, it's the format is you get match of the day, or you get a load of pundits talking. Yeah.
But even look at match of the day, I think they need to wake up a little bit and just realize, everyone needs to go match of the day for the highlights, right? Back in the day. And then obviously the analysis and stuff like that. But you get highlights 2 minutes, like maybe half an hour after the game, or quick. So what's match of the day got left to give? The only thing they got left is the pundits. And that's all it is. Sooner or later, that's going to get moved on as well. So those guys who are the producers of those shows or whoever's commissioning, they need to think, like, hang on a minute. Like, the only thing we had was highlights, but that's being shown. Do you know what I mean? what you got left? And then even that commentary, people, I don't know, people are going to stay up, because now you got, with the access of internet, you got, everything's available so quickly. So it's not about chasing the tails, but it's about being original, and it's about being yourself and standing up for what it is, and not for, like, I think sometimes people just need to innovate. But anyway, I'm talking a lot.
I quite like it. It's quite endearing when a BBC football producer says, let's go to the streets and talk to some real people. And then they have like a camera. And they quite often go around Ladbroke Grove, don't they? Because it's only around the corner.
But do you know what it is, BBC? Richard, do you know what it is as well? At the same time, remember, all the people... So let's say you will commission someone else, right? But that guy commissioning someone, he's probably going and he's finding people. He's like, oh, we're going to pay you for your time. It's not that authentic. Like, it's not that real. Whereas you just... It's, everyone's doing it for the camera, if that makes sense. We want to... Like, people want to see real stuff, real stories. That's why, I mean, YouTube is always the king, because it's shitloads of stuff that you can actually relate to. I think I prefer YouTube more than TVs and other channels, because there's stuff that's relatable. Because back in the day, every program or every show used to be successful because we never had choices. Now we have choices. We have different tastes. We have different personalities, and we got access to all of that. So I think it's about people to understand, like, hey, everyone's got a choice. We can't force them like we're forcing them to do certain things. Soon that's going to go as well. So I think it's just about being original. But there's nothing wrong with it. You know what? Like I said, if someone can say, you know what? I want to make a change, but I don't know how to. And you put your hand up. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But something is saying, I know everything, which you don't, man. You know, like, people got to think, man. Anyway, I feel
well,
like...
it's funny. We have people from the FA on here. We have people from,
I feel bad now.
Governing bodies. No. But it's interesting because they're obviously their agenda.
Trying to rip us.
No, not at all. Their agenda is 11 aside on grass. The story of the last 20 years quite often has been, until recently, the FA has sort of tried to keep a lid on street football, you know, cage football, six aside. It sort of didn't really want it to evolve because that's how they defined football. And actually, you've got a whole generation of people who are saying, well, I don't, you know, that's not really for me.
I think there's a space for everything. There's a space for everyone. But we can't underestimate or overlook certain things. And I think shouldn't FA's agenda should be that we should encourage more people to play football, regardless of if it's on tarmac or if it's on grass, if it's on Astro, whatever it is. Because at the end of the day, shouldn't they want to get people to be more healthy? Look at, it's been a year and a half, nearly 1 year, kids being inactive. That's detrimental to this economy and this country in general. And like your young people, there was a report from Prince's Trust earlier that said something like 58% people feel hopeless and they can't achieve their dreams. Like, if that's your young people, they're the future of your country, and they're feeling that, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for the whole country? You know? So we got to do something. We got to change that. We got to come out of our bubble and face the realities and say, okay, all right, that's fine. Okay, how are we going to tackle this? All right, who knows who to tackle? How to tackle? Let's get them involved. Let's have a conversation. Because I think great things, anything, everything starts from a conversation. And we're not having conversation. We're having conversations amongst ourselves and trying to get PR amongst our own groups and trying to get featured in our own thing that we see. But that's not reality, man. The world's moved on. Anyway, I feel bad. Like, I feel like I'm just ripping everything. And do you know what I mean?
Not at all. Don't feel bad.
I won't feel bad.
I don't want you to feel bad. That would make me sad. Let's talk about Grenfell. Because it was such a terrible moment and it's such a, you know, defining thing. What did you think you learned from that experience? Because you did a post-Grenfell, you did a match for the survivors. Is that right?
Yeah, so we did a tournament to kind of uplift the spirit of the community and some of our players, their cousins and some of their loved ones or the friends they didn't make it alive, unfortunately. And so the mood, the morale, everything, and you know, sometimes you got to give things time as well. And it was really, I could just sense, like, just the energy was so down. So we thought, why don't we bring everyone together and do something and then kind of put, do you know what I mean? I just felt like, and then we did this and it was amazing. We had such a great turnout and we had people coming from different cities, different towns, and to support. And it just makes you think, you know, even through hard times, we need to be together. So in terms of like, I would say the post Grenfell, I feel like there's still answers that haven't been answered. There are still things on a political level, on a police level, and on a governance level. I think there's still a lot of issues that haven't been dealt with. But there's a lot of communities that have set up, like I would say, they're trying to put pressure and they're trying to get answers. But it is, I would say, it's a long journey because it's the way the system is. It's the so it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. But like the damage has been done. But now I think we should learn from it and say, okay, how do we avoid these sort of things happening to other people and to other communities and stuff like that?
Absolutely. The football.
I don't know if I answered your question. But...
No, you did. It was, and it's not a. There isn't an answer to it really because it's, as you say, it's ongoing and we don't know the answers yet. It was quite interesting. QPR came out quite well, I thought, at the afterwards. They, you know, in terms of obviously it's right on their doorstep.
Yeah.
And there was a, you know, there was some really touching and, you know, moving stuff that the club did. And, you know, just, it was, people get a bit cynical about Premier League clubs or big football clubs doing community work because they always say, oh, well, it's, you know, this is just, they get loads of money. They get, you know, they're blowing it on transfers. And now this is just a small amount that they're doing. But actually at that point, I thought QPR were really, really stood up. Do you agree with that?
I think, yeah, QPR has always been doing a lot of great stuff in the community. QPR, Brentford Football Club. I remember Brentford used to do a lot of stuff even when I was little. Like I used to go to their sessions and they used to take us canoeing and all that sort of stuff, which was amazing. Yeah. And it was Premier League Kicks. I think it was Kicks.
Yeah.
That was an amazing scheme as well. But yeah, I think if you've been blessed with a lot of resources and a lot of I would say resources to create change, then I think one should consider that, hang on a minute, you know what, I can bring something back to the society, I can add something to it. But then again, Richard, it all comes down to people having empathy and a bit open-minded, and a bit, I would say, comes down to like how much do they care. And that caring will come because I think it all boils down to what's going on in their head. If the head is full of thoughts that's storming them left, right, and center, they can't make decisions that are good for humanity, if that makes sense. And a lot of people might think, oh, humanity is not good for business. But what you can do right now, the way the things are changing, you can be good and still be successful. You don't need to be bad to be successful. And the consumers and everyone's become aware of that. And I think, you know, a lot of the people, they need to have clarity. Without clarity, you can't see the future. You know, you can't have a vision on how you can create that sort of change that you spoke about, like Premier League clubs and everyone who can have some sort of impact. So, again, it all comes down to management and clear thinking, and a lot to do. People should be doing Simran. People should be doing some sort of meditation. People should be doing some sort of... because. Without clarity, it's just a storm, not only at work but also at your house.
Yeah, I agree with that. Oh, I need to do some meditation, blimey. And I tell you what, you should meet you haven't met Sean yet, who's my partner, and god blimey, he needs to do some meditation. His head is just full of stuff. It's just constant. And by the way, Sean, the first time I met Sean, this is about 20 odd years ago,
yeah,
he was playing in a global league in Clapham, and he was captain of the Bolivia. He's not from Bolivia at all. I don't know why he was playing for the Bolivia team.
Yeah.
And it was on asphalt, and he was doing sort of diving headers. He's absolutely covered in shit and blood and everything. And I thought, you know, I think about him like he's like a sort of, you know, like a little puppy. I thought, oh, I'll just take Sean in under my wing. He'll hate this, by the way.
No, no, no. Do you know, it's, I think that, is it like, is that the country's World Cup when they do their own version of it, like where everyone gets to decide what country they want to be in, they're just like a World Cup for the local thing. But it's, I can imagine, must be crazy, especially.
Yeah, he's not very good. He's like a sort of.
So how did he end up in Bolivia?
No, he wasn't in Bolivia. He was in Clapham, and the Bolivia team were short, and he started playing for him.
Okay,
he can talk him into, he talk himself into anything.
Okay, that's a great skill. I think a lot of people need to learn that. Young people, especially.
I know. Maybe I should rent him out.
No, it's all good.
Let's talk about the women's game,
sure.
Because you've got plans for a women's event, women's street football.
Yeah, sure. So obviously, as you know, since 2016, we've been doing events and we've been working with different organizations and partners and creating an impact for young people. And I mean, grateful to be involved with Princess Trust as well. And so obviously last year, me and the Mayor of London, we were going to take over this amazing, I would say most iconic place in London, Trafalgar Square. And we were going to host like a last stand festival there, which was not just about street football, but also about the food, different cuisines, art. And we were going to resurface to Trafalgar Square to make it look different. But anyway, COVID happened. And then a lot of things happened during that year. And a lot of people had a lot of realizations and a lot of things. And what was happening was that I was speaking to a lot of female players who play football, street football. And a lot of them were saying, when I was doing my market research, or let's say research, whatever you want to call it, a lot of them were saying that one thing that was really common was that you can't be it if you can't see it. And I was like, shit, man, that's so true. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to change that. So hence, now we're in a journey to, we want to do a female version of The Last Dance. So it's a female street football tournament, potentially in the summer, pending permits. And it's just more like, how do we raise the awareness about this game? How do we bring more people to start playing sport, especially women? And potentially, I would love them to play street football, because I think 11-a-side is great, but I think sometimes you lose that joy, the expression, the creativity, that you can be yourself when it's on the street football thing. So yeah, so working on that this summer, working with amazing partners to make it happen. And yeah, looking for support for anyone who wants to be involved in that, to raise awareness and make a difference. And similar impact we had on the boys with street football, I want to do the same for the girls.
So what should they do then? Who are the partners? So you got the mayor. So I can see you and Sadiq.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, not for this one. We did it for the last one, but we're speaking to them as well. So they love what we do, and they're such big fans, because I think mayor likes when young people do different things, like, you know, because that has impact. But remember, this is a national thing, but we would love to do in the summer, potentially 4th of July, which is a Sunday. But let's see what happens. And the dates.
And so what could people do who are listening? Because you've got people who are, you know, they work for agencies or brands and sponsors or media, and you got all sorts, football clubs.
I think main thing is, like, we have so many players on the system. We have so many players, we want to tell their stories, we want to raise awareness about them. But main thing is, like, before you message or contact anything, just say, is this something you believe in? Is this something that you feel you want to create a change in? Then, yeah, let's talk, because I think my thing is, as long as your philosophies match, our philosophies match, then yeah, it's fine. Because if you believe in young people, if you believe in creating change, let's do that. And I believe for anyone, like, even if you don't mess with me or you do, I think if you want to create change in this day and age, it has to be through art. It has to be through entertainment. So whatever your goals and objectives is for the company, I feel you have to talk to young people through art. And just be authentic about it. What I mean by authentic is just be yourself about it. And I think that's the most important thing as well. And a lot of the companies out there, that obviously I do a lot of consultancy as well, that they feel like, oh, you know, we need to do this and that. Sometimes we need to actually get out of our office or get out of a digital space and maybe talk to real people and find out what they actually want. Because it's great reading these reports and insights that are curated and stuff like that. They're amazing to kind of give you a sense of direction, but you're a human being. if you can't make decisions for yourself and you want computer to make decisions for you, that clearly tells your leadership skills, and that clearly tells where you're going as a company.
Quite often when sort of projects and ideas and people who don't live in that sort of corporate world, when they meet that world, it can be quite a bureaucratic exercise, can't it? You start to sort of, they start to say, okay, well, what is your project? And then you know, application form, and then you sort of think, I can feel the joy just dissipating, or just...
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. I feel, especially with young people, what normally happens is remember, these people, these great ideas never get made or never get seen because of this sort of bureaucracy of these application forms and stuff. It's set up so certain people can never apply, because I don't know if you know, but bid writing is actually a profession. So it is a full-time, job. So you reckon, and no wonder same people keep getting the same amount of funding, because those people with great ideas can't afford a bid writer. Do you know what I mean? So that's the problem. Like, we got to move on with the times. Like, if you want, because at the end of the day, you want certain information to help you make a decision. That information can be delivered to you in a new way, in a way. So for example, let's say you might do, to save your time, because to read the application form might take you about 20 minutes, 25. I don't know how big or deep it is. But you can get someone initially, you can just say 60 seconds, say how much you need, where it's going, why you need it, all the questions, but in a way that young people engage in. And then if you need further information, you can request all of that. But again, this is just a way of thinking. You don't have to do it. But all I'm saying is that people need to understand like what sort of challenges you're already putting up. And you're saying we want to help the underprivileged and all these people, but you're not making it easy. Not easy, but you're not making it fair for them. And I think that's what I work with a lot of young people. And I just feel like that's the battle they're facing right now. They're like, how do we access this? How do we get into this? How do we do this? So obviously there's only so much I can do, and there's only so much the partners and what they can do. But
yeah, you're right though. But it's a funny sort of, imagine going to a careers teacher and saying, I want to be a bid writer, you know? I want to spend my life writing application forms.
But it is lucrative, and I think it is a lot of these bid writers, they love it. I mean, it's great. I mean, I mean a lot of people appreciate them as well, don't get me wrong, because they're bringing in a lot of funding. But maybe it might be the thing that we go, there's some sort of organizations, they say, okay, this is how you write bids. But again, do people, these funders, and do they have these sort of resources? I don't know.
I completely agree with you. Bid writing is a profession, I think, is the Paul quote from today's podcast. I think we're going to, that would be the headline.
Yeah. And also one thing I want to say about the women's football as well, I strongly feel that there's a massive copy and paste job happening right now across all communication and across all across all levels. And I think,
you mean with women's football?
Yeah, they're just copying what men's did. They're copying exactly same to same. I mean, it was amazing, and it worked for men's. It worked for Premier League. It worked for Championship. But women's, like, you got to give them in their own right. You got to give them freedom to do their own thing, and that's the way it's going to stand out. Like, you can't be expecting them with the same aggression and same thing. Like, you got to bring something fresh to the game. And I think that's the problem. Like, it's great BBC signing a massive deal. It's great Sky signing a massive deal. But is your engagement going to change? Is your marketing going to change? Is the way you're going to speak to them, is it going to change? It's the same people making the same decision. It's just different gender right now.
It's really interesting you say that, because we had Maggie Murphy on, who's the general manager of Lewis Football Club. And they're in the second tier. They're in second division, or Div 1, or below the Super League. And she made exactly that point, in that it's quite difficult if you've got, so for example, if the big teams, so Man United, Spurs, Arsenals of this world, have women's teams, there is a difficulty in terms of developing their own position because they're sort of subsumed within the brand of the bigger club. I mean, Maggie Murphy would say this because Lewis hasn't got a big club, and so they have a greater freedom. So you can sort of see both sides of it. But it's a really good point, and it'll be interesting to see how the new media deal is rolled out, because there's an opportunity for it to be different. And I know they're looking for people now. They're looking at their Sky and BBC are now looking for producers on that.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's amazing for the women's game. It is, they need that exposure. They need that recognition.
Yeah. No, it's a great deal. It's a brilliant deal.
But yeah, I feel also there's another, here's an opportunity to create something new. Here's an opportunity to let's lead. Let's show other countries. Let's show other people how it's done. Let's be the leaders. Let's be at the forefront of all of this. But what do we do instead? Copy, paste. What was it? Have you ever seen copied and pasted tweets from celebs that just, you know what I mean? And there's no fun in copy and paste. It's just boring. Lazy. That's lazy work. That's what I call lazy work. And that's what I say, you know, that's where you collaborate with organizations, with new blood, with organizations, with new ideas, not with the agencies who just rip off young people. I know so many agencies and actually big sports brands, you know what they do? Like they take advantage of young people and they get their ideas, they use them and just spit them out. Don't even, then what do they get in return? Just football boots or maybe a meal at Nando's, maybe this. Okay. People need to wake up.
Or Chicken Cottage. Chicken Cottage as well.
Yeah. Or, you know, people need to stop taking, I don't think, like, obviously I understand the guy at the top, he probably doesn't even know this is happening, but he's got to understand his supply chain. He's got to take everything, reconsider. Okay, how are you dealing with my young people? That's your consumers. If you're going to keep doing that, sooner or later, you're going to lose them. And they're going to start speaking up about this. And before you know, it's going to be a big, big case. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is people need to wake up and stop being lazy.
I've seen it as well in terms of you go on YouTube, nick the idea, nick the, or even just the a format or something. Or you, as you say, you get, one of the creators,
I think a lot of inspiration, like I feel 100%, we all get inspired by different things. Obviously there's a difference in stealing and there's a difference being inspired. But what I was trying to say is what I've noticed is like how they exploit young people for not that I would say the exchange is not fair, if that makes sense. And I think that needs to stop. And that's not good for not for just for the mental health but also their career, because what these a lot of these organizations and brands are doing, they're making kids dependent on them. And I think what we should be doing, we should be making our young people independent so they can be successful in their own right, because what at the end of the day, they are going to make a contribution and they're going to be the global leaders, not just for UK but hopefully this world. So we need to have a bigger picture. We need to have a bigger picture. We need to have a bigger ambition. And like, what are we doing for our future? We need to stop having the short-term microwave thinking, you know, like, and that's the problem with all the marketeers and a lot of things. Look, I'm not saying all, that's quite bad. Sorry. I don't mean all, like, there are really some really cool ones. But again, like Ricardo said as well, Ricardo said, you know what, the new World Cup, it's not going to be like FIFA. It's going to be something fresh. So again, like I said, there's a lot of people thinking differently. There's a lot of people doing stuff. But anyway, look, I can't fight everyone. Like I said, it's not about fighting the old. It's about building the new.
So many fights. But just to finish up, how old are you, Gundy?
Me? I'm 31.
Oh, you're getting on, you see. Yeah. What are you going to do? What's your ambition? Because it's nice to speak to you now, because you'll obviously be a CEO or a prime minister, or you'll do something, you can tell. But what is it you want to do?
I love street football, and I've seen the change it can create and how exciting it is, and it's the possibilities of making something amazing. I just want to do Last Stand. Like, that's what I love, and it's nothing more exciting, and not just for me, but also for all the young people involved in it as well. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll leave some contact details, and we'll work out what to do about how to point people towards the women's event and good luck with it, and good luck with all the projects. Get a Spurs shirt. I'll send you a Spurs shirt so we can superimpose that on the on the visuals.
Definitely, I'm gonna frame that up in my toilet still.
Brilliant, well done.
Cheers.